Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi there, and welcome to KMBZ.com. From Kansas City's Morning News, I'm E.J. Becker.
And I'm Ellen Schenck. And this is another exclusive KMBZ cover story, Coping Without a Cure, a Family Struggle.
Technology, it's a blessing.
The beeping on the phone is a huge blessing, and there are days where it's beeping 100 times in a day, and you think you're going to lose your mind.
And technology can be a curse.
It is 24/7, every single day, does not take a break even for an hour.
She's talking about the technology and the disease.
Ethan has type 1 diabetes. It's an autoimmune disease. So what happens? Nobody knows why, but his immune system attacks his pancreas and kills all of the cells that produce insulin.
Katie Harris and her family are coping without a cure. Another exclusive KMBZ cover story.
Ethan is Katie's 10-year-old son, diagnosed with type 1 diabetes the day before he started first grade.
It's really tough to deliver that news to a family.
That's Dr. Ryan McDonough, pediatric endocrinologist at Children's Mercy.
To essentially tell them that their child has a chronic life-threatening disease that an hour and a half ago they didn't have any idea about, it takes an emotional toll.
That emotional toll is quite literally just the beginning and may never, ever go away.
So his pancreas no longer produces insulin, which is a hormone in our bodies that allows us to convert sugars in food into energy that we can use in our bodies.
Left untreated, without insulin prescribed by a doctor, the long-term consequences are devastating.
The high blood sugar is what does permanent damage to his whole body.
Neuropathy, which is loss of the nerve sensation, particularly in the fingers, toes, feet, and hands. Nephropathy, which is kidney damage. And then there's retinopathy, the vascular damage that causes people with diabetes to go blind.
The consequences of low blood sugar are immediate and can be deadly, especially at night, when a child can sleep through the highs and lows, never knowing that their blood sugar's out of whack.
In fact, the statistic is that 1 in 20 children, type 1, will die in their sleep. So night was particularly scary. And generally, we just were guessing and hoping that he wasn't high or low. I don't want to even think about how many times something went wrong in the night.
Nowadays, a blood sugar every hour seems so insignificant. With advances in technology, who needs a blood sugar every hour when you can have one every 5 minutes? Sound overwhelming?
Imagine if you were getting blood sugar readings and potentially blood sugar warnings sent to your phone every few minutes, 24/7, times two. Another family we spoke to for this week's cover story lives that reality every single day. Here's Mark Lavoie.
Adam and David Bell don't remember a time when they didn't have to watch their diets, get their fingers pricked for blood sugar measurements, or receive shots for insulin. It's not so bad, Adam says. They're used to it. The boys have high-tech implants that regularly measure their blood sugar and send alerts that their mother can monitor. David, who's 10 years old, says they adjust their insulin pumps about every 3 days.
You kind of get used to it, like by the second or the third day, it's better than the first day because it's like worked itself into a good spot.
The boy's mom, Susan Bell, spends a lot of time working with the boys and their diet. If she lets up on their routine and they eat out, she may be up all night dealing with wild swings in blood sugar. That also happens if the boys eat too late in the evening.
I try not to deprive them too much. At the same time, I think everyone to eat a healthy lifestyle has to deprive themselves some.
So what if the boys are at a birthday party? Do they have to miss out on all the goodies? Well, Adam, who's in the seventh grade, says no. They can have their cake, but there's a lot more they have to do.
Well, you have to, like, weigh your food and punch in for anything you want to eat.
After the food is weighed, they figure out the percentage of carbs and prepare to adjust their blood sugar with insulin if necessary.
The biggest challenge is the 24/7, never having a break.
Susan is thankful for the technology that helps her monitor the boys and maintain their sugars. Her dream is for her boys to grow up happy and healthy with their disease not holding them back in any way. Mark Lavoy, News 98.1 KMBZ.
Listening to Katie, to the Bells, to the Doc, and others at Children's Mercy, you begin to realize that especially in children, diabetes really is a family struggle.
How has it changed your family?
Gosh, there isn't anything it hasn't changed. Because it's every second of every day, because it involves every decision that has anything to do with food, with exercise, with leaving the house, it's almost like it's this extra family member has moved in.
How's it changed your marriage?
It's really easy, I think, when you have kids to focus on them anyway. You know, you hear all people talk about how when their kids move out of the house, that they're suddenly like, oh, we've been doing this so much, we forgot to have a relationship. We even like each other. And you introduce this kind of thing in there, and not only is the tension higher, but you have something else that takes up a lot of time, a lot of conversation, and it's really easy to let that become what you talk about when they're together.
As you can tell, one of the biggest challenges for families with diabetes is coping with the stress, not getting overwhelmed.
How families do it, or try to, and the people who dedicate themselves to helping out, next, as our cover story continues. It must drive you crazy because you're always watching those numbers.
Yeah. I mean, the beeping on the phone is a huge blessing, and there are days where it's beeping 100 times in a day and you think you're going to lose your mind. But in real life, you feel like it's this ping pong game where you're going up and down.
Type 1 diabetes in a child meets 21st century technology. There's more information, better ability to manage the disease, but for so many people, the constant feeling that the disease has control of them.
We have an app on our phone, as do his teachers and his grandparents. We can see his blood sugar at all times. We get alarms if he's too high or too low. And we can also see how quickly that blood sugar is changing.
Can you imagine getting a health update on your child sent to your smartphone every 5 minutes? A health update that you need to react to as often as not. That's the kind of information stream that helps treat today's diabetic patients.
The downside can be overwhelming.
When you have these numbers all the time, there is this heightened anxiety. For me, every beep is emotional. Every time I hear that beep, every time I print up that data, that is a representation of the brokenness of my son's body.
Coping Without a Cure, another exclusive KMBZ cover story, is Katie's story of raising her 10-year-old son, 4 years after a diagnosis for type 1 diabetes.
Dr. Ryan McDonough leads the Diabetes Center at Children's Mercy. He says understanding the family, what they feel, how they cope, is as important as treating the patient.
The way that they process is definitely something you have to be astute. You have to be able to pick up on people's emotions and people's feelings and where they're at in this diagnosis. Because some families, what they need is that really strong scientific background to begin with. And some families need a hug. And really, you have to find the balance between those things and make sure that what I provide to them is what they need in that moment.
And backing the doc up is a special group of people trained to shepherd patients and family through what today remains a lifelong disease. Here's Rebecca Crockett.
Every day, Children's Mercy certified diabetic educator Ron Hoyler sits down with families who have just received the news that their child has diabetes. He says most are scared but find comfort when he explains that diabetes is the most common and manageable chronic disorder worldwide.
If the family is doing their part and we're doing our part, then the diabetes management is fairly smooth. It's not that fear that you're out of control.
But not every family has the resources to manage the disease properly.
Get these situations where families can't afford their insulin, and so they're skipping and taking it every other day, or they are petrified because it's the end of the year and their insurance is running out.
Hoyler says managing diabetes is not cheap, but assures there are resources available to help.
Between financial assistance and between coupons from some of the different companies that provide diabetes supplies.
Families are encouraged to reach out with questions and concerns so staff can help to make the road a little less bumpy. Rebecca Crockett, News 98.1 KMBZ.
Now we continue coping without a cure. Another exclusive KMBZ cover story. The story of Katie and her 10-year-old son, Ethan.
Ethan was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes the day before he was supposed to start first grade, so he was six.
It's been a 24/7 effort to manage the disease ever since. But beyond the medical management, beyond making sure Ethan's blood sugar is within acceptable limits, families living with type 1 diabetes have to manage the cost of coping.
Insurance does not always pay for it. That's one of the things that the Juvenile Diabetes Research people, the JDRF people foundation, they do is that they really push for coverage of this kind of thing because it's a life, not only a lifesaver, but a life changer in terms of just keeping these kids healthy.
One estimate we read puts the cost of managing diabetes at about $10,000 per year per patient. That's roughly $800 a month.
There are a lot of people who can't afford it. Diabetes is an incredibly expensive disease. Type 1 diabetes, insulin, is one of the most expensive liquids in the world, even though it's one of the oldest medications.
The technology costs money. The test strips cost money. And yes, as Katie said, the insulin costs money too. A lot of money. And the price has been going steadily up for years.
Our Bill Grady wanted to know why insulin, so critical to survival for so many, costs so much.
One vial of insulin can cost $300, and a patient may need more than one a month. New formulations are much more expensive, but there are other factors, bewildering even to the experts. Dr. David Robbins directs the KU Diabetes Institute.
The drug companies distribute their medication through mid-level distributors that work with insurance companies and the pharmacies. The price involves all sorts of rebates. It is the most confusing thing I've ever seen.
Some who are struggling to pay the bills may ration their medication, which is dangerous. Dr. William Cefalu is chief scientific and medical officer for the American Diabetes Association. He tells KMBZ patients should be educated about their disease.
Talk to your provider and see if the provider has any insight into changing to a less expensive insulin formulation or reevaluating your condition.
The association has a website, makeinsulinaffordable.org, with a list of options for financial aid. Bill Grady, News 98.1, KMBZ.
As we were researching for today's cover story, we came across some interesting facts about diabetes that made us sit up and take notice, and we thought you'd find them interesting too.
For instance, one of the most common misconceptions about children and young adults with type 1 diabetes.
People think that they can't have a cookie, that they can't have a slice of cake. That is not true. In type 1 diabetes, they can have all of those things. They just need to take the insulin for it that their body isn't able to make on its own.
And Dr. Ryan McDonough from Children's Mercy really surprised us when he told us how so many families begin to suspect that something might be wrong. Something that eventually leads to a type 1 diagnosis.
We find a lot of kids get diagnosed with diabetes after family long car trips. As soon as you're in the car and they need to go to the bathroom every 30 to 45 minutes, it really sends up some red flags for families.
This morning, coping without a cure. This week's exclusive KMBZ cover story. A look inside an American family dealing with pediatric diabetes and the people who help them treat it.
In so many ways, the future of diabetes treatment is bright.
Figuring out ways to take blood sugar without pricking a finger or putting something in your body. They're figuring out everything from laser finger stickers to contacts. I heard something about they're making contacts that'll constantly read the blood sugar in somebody's body.
But in other ways, the future is now. When you consider that finger pricking and test strips, even syringes, have been largely replaced by advanced technology.
Dan Weinbaum reports on the advanced state of diabetes treatment and on how close we might be to the Holy Grail.
No cure for type 1 diabetes yet, but it can be managed much easier now than in years past. Dr. Ryan McDonough co-directs the Diabetes Center at Children's Mercy.
The technology today is vastly different than it was 5-10 years ago. Every month, every couple months, the FDA is approving new devices, new technologies, new algorithms that predict and give us insight into blood sugar data that it's a very rapidly changing world.
That insight, that data, comes from small insulin pumps that connect to the body, doling out tiny measured amounts of insulin, and glucose sensors that can take the place of old-fashioned finger pricks a few times a day. Instead, they can check blood sugar levels 288 times per day. That's every 5 minutes.
The big change in sensing technology in the last 5 to 10 years is we went from just giving the number to using that data to predict and prevent the acute complications.
McDonough says the technology for diabetes care is advancing quickly and expects the development of an artificial pancreas within a few years. Dan Weinbaum, News 98.1 KMBZ.
What's the hardest part of your day?
It's knowing that I can't cure this disease.
What's the best part of your day?
It's seeing the success. It's seeing kids who have struggled with their diabetes and see it click. It's seeing diabetes not get in the way of kids being kids.
What are your hopes for Ethan when he's, say, 30?
I hope he has a cure when he's 30, the way I wish he had it before he went to college. But people always say, won't it be better when he can manage this on his own? And I think, gosh, no, I don't want him to have to do that on his own. And if not a cure, something that takes all of these constant decisions off of the table.
You know, there are just so many things we didn't have time to get to in our KMBZ cover story, Coping Without a Cure, a Family Struggle. So we thought we'd include in this podcast some of the more interesting aspects that we found out when we talked to Katie about her son Ethan and all the experts in type 1 diabetes.
Including some of the tech that we didn't get to, tech that you might actually be wearing right now.
Ethan actually for Christmas got an Apple Watch, and so now he can get this information on his watch, which is so much easier than him. You know, he already has stuff in his pockets, and he has a pump attached to him and this thing on his arm, and so he's got his phone in his pocket, and he has to pull it out and put in his passcode, look at his blood sugar number. Now he can just look at his wrist, which is a huge thing for him.
We asked Katie about her hopes and dreams for her son, Ethan, and you heard her say she was hoping there would be a cure for him. She also hopes that he gets something out of all of this.
And I hope that all of these years of having something hard will make him a much more compassionate person. Knows what it is to struggle at a young age, and he carries a lot of weight.
And Ethan has a good role model in his older sister, Emma, who realized early on that this really is a family issue.
She was very aware that she needed to not need anything for a while, that we had our hands full, that we were really worried about Ethan, and that she needed to just kind of take care of herself and not need anything from us. She took care of herself, but it certainly had an impact on her. And at the same time, she was concerned about her brother. She saw how worried we are. She still gets concerned about him.
Every parent, you see them holding back their tears from the moment their child is diagnosed.
That's Dr. McDonough, the endocrinologist from Children's Mercy Hospital.
They don't want their child to be worried. They don't want their child to be scared about this. And they are trying to be brave. And seeing them in that moment trying to be as brave as they can for something they don't fully understand at that moment is... It's a really hard moment to be with families and to see them struggle through this new diagnosis.
We asked Dr. McDonough, it's one thing to explain this to families, but how do you explain type 1 diabetes to a 3-year-old?
That's really hard. You know, 3-year-olds are at that age where they're starting to understand that they're sick, that there's something that is needing attention. But we don't want to overwhelm 3- and 4-year-olds with the pathophysiology about beta cell dysfunction and what the autoimmune disease is causing their body to do. That's obviously too much for those kids. What we tell the really little ones is really focus on that they didn't do anything wrong, that there's something in their body that has made it that they need some extra medicine to help them be healthy, but that they have not done anything to cause this, because you'd be surprised, 3-year-olds are very smart, and they see their parents struggling. They see themselves in a hospital. They know that there's something wrong, but they blame themselves right from the get-go.
And then there are teenagers.
Teenagers want to rebel. Mom and dad are probably very controlling. They get to a point, they get to an age, they get to an attitude where they want to rebel. Do you have to use tough love with the kids? And at that point, if it's not already clear to them, explain the long-term devastating effects of this disease? Is that one of the techniques you use with a teenager?
You know, I think teenagers are a really interesting, unique group of people. They have already the highest incidence of poorly controlled diabetes across the entire age span. There are a lot of teenagers who just don't appreciate the severity of the disease that they have. They don't understand what the long-term consequences are of poorly managed diabetes.
And of course, Dr. McDonough explained those earlier on in the podcast and our cover story here on KMBZ. Thanks for listening. And join us every weekday morning, 5 to 10, on News 98.1 KMBZ for Kansas City's Morning News, for cover stories, persons of the week, and other in-depth stories that you'll only hear here on KMBZ and KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.